All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. This passage captured my attention as my wife and I were reading through this book not too long ago. And thought it would be good to spend some time in it together with you. It's a passage of exhortation and a reminder for us that we are in a war. We're in a battle. And sometimes even that battle and that war can be realized even amongst fellow saints. Let's just talk about Paul's situation here. Paul is writing to Corinth. This is his second, perhaps third letter that he's written to them. We only have the first and second Corinthians as inspired word of God, but he is, in this passage, he's kind of beginning a defense of his apostleship. It seems as if there were some in the church, the professing believers there in that church, that didn't like him and didn't like how he handled himself when he was there. In chapter 10, verse 1, we read, "Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you," or really that could be said, "I come alongside of you, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you," or lowly among you, "but being absent and bold toward you." And some commentators, that as I checked on this, they think that Paul might have been referring to some sarcastic comments that had been made as he had spent time with them, and that some people were saying that he's so weak and lowly when he is with us. But when he's not with us, he's real bold. He says a lot of things, but when he's with us, he's not that bold. He's lowly. And there's a sense of an attack against him as a man, and also as the apostle, as one who is sent by God. And it's important to realize here, as God establishes the church, the early church, it's built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And so the apostles play a very important role given to them by Jesus Christ. And so the apostle Paul is living out his calling, his mission that God had given to him, Jesus specifically given to him, to spread the word amongst the Gentiles. So as he is doing so, of course, there's going to be attacks and going to be people that are not going to see things the same way as he sees them. We know from his first letter, he was dealing with people who were all caught up in who the preacher was. Is it Apollos? Or is it Peter? Or is it Paul? And they were rallying behind their man. And Paul had to correct them and say, it's not about the man, it's about Christ. And so we get this sense that Paul is in this tension that he's feeling. And you see him here in the first verse approach it with the meekness and gentleness of Christ. We know that of Christ, it is said that he was meek. And Moses, it was said that Moses was meek. Jesus, when he was ministering on the earth in Matthew chapter 11, he said these words in verse 29. He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am," what? "I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." When Jesus was beginning his earthly ministry in the Sermon on the Mount, he said in the Beatitudes, Matthew 5:5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And Paul is taking this attitude, this spirit, as he's approaching this situation amongst the Corinthian church. This is the powerful example for us as we consider when there may be tensions among us, how we are to handle ourselves. Let us be meek and gentle. Meek and gentle as Christ was. So Paul is seeking to, or is carrying forth this attitude. In verse 2, he says, "But I beseech," or I make supplication, I beg, I ask of you, "that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us." Now here's the attack that he's experiencing. "Which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh." So the mindset or the thought was that Paul, as you were amongst us, you walked according to the flesh. And in other words, you handled yourself, your conduct was fleshly, according to in a fleshly manner. That is, that your flesh, walking according to the flesh, was you were allowing the flesh to govern your walk. I don't know what they're exactly what they were talking about or referring to, but nevertheless, you see that this, according to Paul at least, this he thinks of us, you think of us, as if we walked in this way, that we just let flesh govern us. So he says in verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." Now the main verb in this passage is war. We do not war after the flesh. "For though we walk in the flesh" is a description of who he is. I'm in the flesh. You are in the flesh. We have a body that is physical. We are living in the physical reality of this earth. So we are walking in the flesh. But we do not war according to the flesh. So he is going to respond to their disagreements or to their charges against him, and he's going to do so not according to the flesh. Yet he is walking in the, he lives in the flesh. So what is he's doing is he's exemplifying for us how to handle challenges and charges that are brought against us, that are fleshly in nature, that are of this world, governed by the flesh. How do we handle those things that come at us? Well, we war, we fight, not according to the flesh. You see there in verse 3, "after the flesh," that word is actually the same as "according to the flesh" at the end of verse 2. So you see, we walked according to the flesh, end of verse 2. "For though we walk in the flesh," you know, prepositions really can play an important role. I know often they're such small words, but I've learned as I've studied to pay attention to even prepositions in the text, because here it's an example of walking according to the flesh. "For though we walk in the flesh," very different than "according to," and then "we do not war according to the flesh." So here he's responding and he is talking about, this is a fight, war. It's a term for fight. We do not fight according to the flesh. Now the "we" here, I believe what he is referring to when he is speaking of the "we" is he is speaking of those that he is with at this point in time. And you look back at chapter 1, verse 1, you read, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. So Paul and Timothy, at least, would be comprised of this we. This, so we have the apostle, we have his disciple that's walking with him, and he is saying, we do not war after the flesh. The saints, Christians, we need to learn to take the high road, if you will. And by that, what we mean is to realize that when we do battle or when we fight or when we have tensions, we need to realize that let's not allow ourselves to be governed by the flesh. You know what happens, don't you? When we allow ourselves to be governed by the flesh, especially in moments of tension or when times are difficult, we make a mess of it. Because the flesh is a very cruel master. We can't trust it to guide us in the ways of God. So we war not according to the flesh. All right, so let's talk about this more, Paul. So Paul continues in verse 4. For the weapons, so he's talking warfare here, weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. That word carnal, it's really flesh or fleshly or of the flesh. So let's look at it that way, because the word carnal kind of throws us off a little bit in that it takes us away from the idea of flesh. Let's run with the word flesh throughout the text because it flows. So if the charge was you're walking according to the flesh, well, we do walk in the flesh, yes, but we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare, they're not fleshly. They're not of the flesh. So the weapons are described by, first of all, that word carnal or of the flesh. They are not of the flesh. The second description of the weapon is they're mighty. They're mighty to God or unto God. So as believers, let's realize something, that as there is a very real battle that exists in our life, and it doesn't have to just be amongst professing believers, but as it is in this context, but it could be very much out there in the world. We know that there is a battle that is raging, and it is not flesh and blood. Ephesians chapter 6, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So the weapons of our warfare, if they're of the flesh, of what, you know, of what value are they? Let's realize that we have weapons that are not of the flesh, but rather weapons that are mighty. Mighty to God, or mighty unto God, to the pulling down of strongholds. That word stronghold is a fortification, castle. And when you think of fortifications or castles, you need to think that here is a place a place upon which someone is relying for safety or for protection. It is a place that is known for its strength, for its hold. And so Paul here, as he is writing to the Corinthian church and he's defending himself, he is reminding us as the readers that this battle that can exist amongst people, you have weapons that are not of the flesh, but rather you have mighty weapons, mighty to God, or even in, you could say before God, to the pulling down. They have the ability to pull down, that could be a very graphic term of pulling down with great strength these mighty fortresses. Oh boy, have you ever considered things in your life to just be so, like a such a powerful, strong hold, whether it be upon you or upon someone that you love and care about. And you think about, man, how can this be gone? How can this be removed? Well, be encouraged. Yes, we're in a war, but we have weapons that are not of the flesh, but rather they're mighty to God, to the pulling down of strongholds. That these weapons are such that they have the ability to pull these mighty places down. So remembering the main verb again is we do not war according to the flesh. So the weapons, not fleshly but mighty. Verse 5, casting down imaginations. Same verb as pulling down. Same verb. So you have this casting down imaginations, reasonings of men's mind. How often are we governed by what people think? And you just long for them to think differently of you or of the situation or whatever. Paul here longing, I'm sure, for the Corinthian church to think differently of him, to be able to have these kinds of things behind him so that they can concentrate on other things in the ministry of the gospel. Let me be meek and I'll be gentle like Christ, but I am being honest. This is a war. This is a fight. But you know what? The weapons I'm going to use, the weapons that I have, they're not of the flesh, but they are mighty. Casting down imaginations. This war involves this pulling down of these reasonings of men. What kind of reasonings? These high things, every high thing, it says, that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Against the knowledge of God. You see what Paul's dealing with here is he's dealing with situations in this church that are rising up and are in competition, if you will, for the attention of the saints and pulling and distracting them away from furthering their knowledge of God. You know, this idea, who's the best preacher? Or how did Paul act amongst us? He was just lowly and small, but when he gets away from us, he just talks real big and bold. Come on. What's the deal with this? Why think this way? These kinds of things exalt themselves against the very knowledge of God. So our weapons, the weapons that we have, are mighty. And they cast down these imaginations. They pull them down. And bringing into captivity. So in this war, you're busy with weapons. You're busy in casting down imaginations and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So often when we get in a conflict or a difficulty, we don't know what to think, or we're really rattled. And we struggle, and we falter, and we flail, and we'll fail. And so passages like this equip us when we find ourselves in these tensions that we realize, you know what? God's way is not of the flesh. I am, yes, this is a fight. And let's be honest about this. It's a fight. It's a war. But I'm going to handle this with meekness. I'm going to handle this with gentleness. But in this war, I have to fight. But you know what? I'm not going to fight in a fleshly way, according to the flesh. But I'm going to fight with these weapons that I have that are mighty to God, to the pulling down of strongholds. I'm going to cast down these imaginations and every high thing that exalts themselves against the knowledge of God, and I'll bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. These are descriptions of the state of the apostle's mind, his mindset. I've got these weapons. I'm casting down these imaginations. I am bringing into captivity. I am corralling every thought and bringing it into them under the microscope of the obedience of Christ. And I am testing it, and I am proving it, and I am finding out, where does this fit? Having, verse 6, in a readiness. So in other words, having in a state of being prepared to revenge all disobedience, or that is, to punish all disobedience when your obedience is completed and is fulfilled. Yeah, he's speaking like an apostle, one with authority, which he has, given to him by Christ. But we take from this an example for us as we fight on, as we fight the good fight of faith, he tells Timothy. In fact, I want you to just look briefly with me to his second letter to Timothy. And I want you to notice what he tells him in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Tell you what, before we look at that, go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Just because this is the first letter. We'll go the first letter, then the second. The first letter, verse 18. So chapter 1, verse 18, he writes and he says, "This charge I commit unto you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I've delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme." An example of his punishing the disobedient. But his charge to his son Timothy in the faith is hold on to that faith and a good conscience. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, where you were before, verse 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses," verse 2, "the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Now look at verse 3. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." You know, the ministry is portrayed here both by Paul and, well, both, but are both by Paul. But in 2 Corinthians and in Timothy's here, it's a war. There's a fight. You're a soldier. In verse 4, 2 Timothy 2:4, "No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Again, what you're seeing there is that idea of the flesh, this life. You don't entangle yourself there, because you want to be about pleasing the one who has chosen you to be a soldier. Who might that be? Jesus Christ. He's your general. He's the one who has chosen you. Look at verse 7. Consider what I say, and the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. You know, as we think about the weapons of our warfare, the word of God is not bound. You look at verse 10. Therefore I adore all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying. For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abides faithful. He cannot deny himself. We know God is faithful. The shield of faith. What does it say in Ephesians chapter 6? The shield of faith is able to quench. It quenches every fiery dart of the wicked one. The shield of faith. Notice his talk about salvation, and we have the helmet of salvation. You know, as you think about, well, what are these weapons, Pastor? And that's a very fair question that we war that are not of the flesh, but rather mighty to God, to the pulling down of strongholds. You need to keep in mind what Paul has said in other texts about weapons and battles, and Ephesians chapter 6 certainly plays a huge part in that. You see in verse 15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What do you have? The belt of truth. Back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let us be a people who take this road. I'm going to approach this battle as Christ approached it. Meekness and gentleness. But we see Paul fighting. He's not rolling over and saying, okay, okay. No, he's taking a stand. But he's not taking a stand according to the flesh. And that's the challenge that for us, isn't it? Because that's the natural state we want to be, and that's where we go naturally. We begin the fleshly processing of how am I going to handle this charge? Oh, you can go the route of debating, or you can go the route of belittling. You can do all kinds of things in your flesh and in your mind, and you know what? We can churn and get all these thoughts running and come up with this grandiose plan of knocking this whole thing down. But it all be of the flesh. Let us remember that we have weapons that are mighty to God, to the pulling down of strongholds. So we need to discern, as he does here, because he says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We need to be able to discern what is exalting itself against the knowledge of God in the situation. It needs to be cast down. It needs to be pulled down from its pedestal, rendered inoperable in how it affects my life. We do this as we consider truth, as we think about how he tells us to think in Philippians chapter 4. Think upon these things, and it's that list of whatsoever things are true, and whatsoever things are honest, and whatsoever things are pure, and of good report, and you can praise where you go down through that. So, whatever is exalting itself against the knowledge of God, hindering the further knowledge and understanding of God, and then you think, what else can help me discern what to cast down and what not to? Well, the obedience of Christ. Does this charge or this thought, does it fit within the confines of the example of Jesus? And that's the beauty that God has given us the Gospels. God has given us the Gospels so that we may have a picture in what it looks like for God to walk on the earth and what his righteousness looks like. And so, obedience to Christ. Christ lived a certain way and talked a certain way. And so, is this an obedience to Christ? Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. All right, so, Paul is immortal, just like you and I. A charge is brought to him. His mind begins to run. Flesh is flared up. What does he do? What are we to do when we get in those situations? You know what? We need to realize and follow this truth. Okay, I cannot war according to the flesh. No. So, cannot war according to the flesh. I have weapons. The weapons of my warfare are not of the flesh, but mighty to God. All right, so I've got these weapons in my life. These weapons, these are tools that will help me in the battle to maintain myself in a proper posture before God. That is, I will continue to exalt the knowledge of the Lord and walk in obedience to Christ. So I have these things, these weapons in my life that will help me as I go through this battle. And so the question in your mind right now is, okay, so is there a battle? Some of you may not be able to discern something right now. Some of you may very well understand there is a battle raging in your life right now. So now you begin to walk through the process of where am I at? Am I on the according to the flesh side, or am I not warring according to the flesh? And then you need to begin to think about, you've got weapons, you've got tools. And if, for starters, go to Ephesians chapter 6 and go through the weaponry that God lays out there. The helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I think I got them all. And so you begin to realize, so how can I apply these things in my life so that I may walk through this and cast down every imagination and high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God? Because if I want to do battle the right way, I need to get these thoughts out of the way. How do you discern what that is? Well, if it exalts itself against the knowledge of God and your increased attention to knowing Him more, get it out. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Well, how did my Lord live? If I carry through with this thought Will I be viewed by God as being obedient to Christ? 1 John 2:6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. And so we take that as our grid and realize that God has given this to us to help us. Because think about the alternative. It's a mess. Because when we try to do battle with flesh, in the flesh, and we do it according to our flesh, we end up being a poor testimony for the name of Christ. And we aren't any further in our knowledge of God. Lord, thank you for helping us and for such practical texts as these. So help us, Lord, this week as we proceed forward and walk. Help us to walk as you lived. In Jesus' name, amen.